If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Say, I believe God for a miracle.
We always justify our lust for money by saying, if we had the money, we'd build a new church. That's how you justify your lust for money, by saying you'll use it for God. And then that way, you don't feel bad about lusting for money, because you're going to give God his obligatory. And you know, people who really lust for it, they'll say, oh boy, if I had $5 million, I wouldn't give God 10%, I'll give him 20%. Yeah, okay. God says, you won't even give me a dime from the dollar. And now you're going to give me 20. No, what happens to us? What happens is we find ourselves trying to legitimize a mindset that's contrary. We need to understand, and I've dedicated myself to my church in this twilight of pastoring. I've dedicated myself to leaving a legacy of God searchers, not gift searchers or ministry searchers. I've seen too many people chase after the things of God and ignore the God of the things. And this is why we are superficial at best. And so I said, God, I'm not going to do a whole lot of preaching anymore. I'm not going to take a whole lot of assignments, and I don't. I turn down more than I take because I want to lay before God and bring Bethel my best so that you can become steadfast, so that you could become unmovable. And that's what the shepherd does. They give their lives for the sheep, not for all these other churches and ministries, but for the sheep. And so I have recommitted myself to reshaping your thought life, because that's where the battle is. And having said that, last week the Spirit of God says, train my people for war. I said, wait a minute, we were talking about money, trying to get you out of debt. We're going to have classes that teach you how to manage your money. If you're planning marriage, we're going to start incorporating Minister Donald. We're going to get him to teach budgeting. You think you automatically know how to budget, and that's going to be part of your premarital. Can't get married unless you know how to budget your checkbook and your money. I'm tired of people getting married and being broke within a week. All that money that comes in from your wedding, and you don't have anything to show for it but a 65-inch TV. No, we're going to stop this. We're going to stop waving our hands over problems and wishing them away and clicking our heels and trying to be back in Kansas. No, we're going to do this. That's going to be part of it. You can't get married at Bethel until you take the budgeting class, and especially at our new church. And we're going to do this because you've been here long enough. You've been in credit card bondage. The average person in America has over $6,000 worth of credit card debt. That's average in America. Now, you can, for the inner city, you can probably multiply that by a factor of 3. We do a lot of tongue talking, we do a lot of hand laying, and a lot of spiritual impartation, but we're still broke. It's a mindset, and I'm going to keep chipping at this mindset until you change. But God said, no, prepare my people for war. And I thought, well, I'm not done with money. I talked to God. He said, talk to him. I said, I'm not done with the money yet. He said, teach them about war. I said, okay. So nothing else comes to me. And so I want to be a good son. So I look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And what I love about Timothy, those two letters that Paul writes, these letters are relational. It's what I would do to my sons. And I do this periodically. I contact my sons in the gospel. They contact me. And now we're going to set aside days where we can sit and I can do, by the grace of God, what Paul's doing to Timothy. Paul is pastoring a whole lot of people. I'm sure there's a lot of people that are tapping into Paul. But Timothy and Titus, I don't know why, but it just seems like there's a special apostolic elder relationship. Timothy is pastoring the church of Ephesus in its decline. It's not as powerful or spiritual as it used to be, because when we become comfortable with God, we change. And so we're seeing a lot of bickering that goes on in the church. This is why the Bible says we should guard our lips. And I just want to, you know, do this as a sidebar. There are times we say things to people, but we don't know what state they're in to receive it. So inadvertently, without being intentional, you may say something that fuels a fire that you don't even know that is there. You can't just say everything. You see, you can't walk up to people and call yourself encouraging them when they're not in a place to receive encouragement. Because some people may look at things in an adversarial way, particularly when they're no longer dealing with certain church ministries anymore. You can't just go up and say whatever you want to say, because some people need to come along differently. We fuel fires, or better yet, some folks are offended and we fuel the offense. The offense becomes bitterness. The bitterness becomes hatred, all because we said the wrong thing. Listen to Paul when he talks to Timothy. Timothy has already expressed concern about church positions. In 1 Timothy, there seems to be a gender struggle between women and men, just like today, nothing new under the sun. And so Paul, because he has no other model but the Hebraic model, which classifies women differently than men, and the Hebraic model separated the women and put them in a position of subservience. This is Paul's model. This is his socialization. He has nothing else to use as an example. So therefore, he is going to approach congregational gathering with that old Pharisaical model. The exhortation and the exaltation of the man and the devalue of the woman. Now, this comes from Old Testament theology. This is why the man could divorce the woman, but the woman could not divorce the man. It was so prominent that the man could just wake up and say, I won't be married to you no more, and walk out. Or he could get up and say, get out. Now, she had to leave, but she could not get remarried because she was still together. We call it separation. Just get out. So Moses saw this behavior increasing. And so he said, no, write her a bill of divorcement so she could get remarried. So the bill of divorcement, when Jesus talked about it in Matthew 5 and Matthew 19, the bill of divorcement was not God's authorization of divorce. It was God saying that what I did was try to regulate this behavior because you were acting like Babylonians. And so the woman, if she did not receive the bill of divorcement, she couldn't even go back home because she was still the wife slash property of that man. And so when we get to Romans, Paul uses the analogy of marriage, and the only thing that could separate the woman from the man in the economy of God was death. And he uses that analogy with our salvational experience. He says, as long as that man was alive, that woman was married to that man. Now, early in Christendom, again, in Pentecostal expression, we would use that phrase. Even if you were divorced or separated for 20 years, he's still your husband. And it created a mindset of perpetual slavery. Until about the mid-60s, when women started saying that I've had enough. And things began to change in our country. The jury is still out on whether or not it was good or bad. But the gender structure changed. Women began to assume leadership positions in church and never did it before. Women began to assume roles of prophetic utterance. They began to move into apostolic. They began to move into pastoral, bishop, and all the other things. And the culture accepted the change and began to realize that with every positive, there's a negative. With every positive, there's a negative. If God were to send me all over the country to minister the word of God, that's a positive. The negative is I wouldn't be home with Sister Lambert. That would be her negative. You see? So it seems like God moves the woman into higher heights in God, and there's a negative somewhere. Either in mothering the children, wifing the husband, there seems to be some sort of negative. So all Paul says is, just look, separate them all. Wife, submit to the husband. Husband, lead the wife. I don't want women talking in church. They shouldn't be trying to run ministry. They should take care of their children, love their husbands, and run the house. I didn't say it. The Bible did. Y'all looking at me like, God, I'm leaving Bethel, Jack. I'm just telling you what the word says as my background. And so when Paul is confronted by this episcopal desire in Ephesus, there are those there that say, I'd like to be a bishop. I'd like to be a leader. I'd like to be an overseer. Paul said, fine. The person who desires this office should be the husband of one wife. He doesn't say the wife of one husband. He says the husband of one wife. Now, again, this is not a biblical declarative. This is Paul using his own concepts to set order in a disorganized congregation. He's not saying, thus saith the Lord. He's simply trying to bring order from what he knows. Are you with me? So we cannot make a doctrine out of a woman not being in ministry. That's not what the Bible is saying. So here Paul is dealing with these issues with Timothy. Now, the reason why women in leadership in higher positions of ministry works in our culture is because we have a matriarchal culture. 95% of you were raised by a mother, a strong grandmother, and a strong aunt. The absence of male leadership in the home resulted in the absence of male leadership in the church. So we did not have a doctrinal issue with this. We just said, if God called me, I'm going to do it. But those people did not understand the call of God. So Paul writes to Timothy, and he says something to him here in 2 Timothy, which is his last writing prior to death. He says, thou therefore, my son, verse 1, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same you're to commit to faithful what? Now, what we would do to make this gender perfect is say faithful people. But again, Paul's Hebraic teaching was to the man.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
2318A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.